You're listening to The Simple Truth with Pastor Dion Cordova of Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel.
One of the parts of our inheritance is that we got our Father's concern. We got our Father's care. He's sensitive towards us. And He also provides for us. We're also going to find out that there are some things that God gives us as our inheritance that we get now. Like provision, He promised that. I will meet all your needs. God will meet all your needs according to His riches and glory.
As we cling to the simple truth,
as Pastor Dion continues his teaching series through the book of Galatians, he'll be encouraging you to trust in God's provision and grace. God is faithful even when you aren't being faithful, because He's not like man. You've been given an incorruptible inheritance from God the Father because you became His child the moment you received the free gift of salvation through Jesus. You can rejoice in knowing that you have all the benefits of being God Almighty's child. Now here's Pastor Dion in Galatians chapter 4 with part 2 of today's message.
God, in spite of all of what we've done, He claims us. That's my kid. I'm their daddy. And He wants us to call Him dad. I think that is so awesome, guys. In fact, here's what it says. Ephesians chapter 1. Here are the verses. And then chapter 1, verse 5, and then verse 13 and 14. Read it with me. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. He wanted to adopt you, even knowing everything about you. He wanted to adopt you, and it brings Him great pleasure to do it. Here's the next one. Keep reading. And when you believed in Christ, He marked you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom He promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised and that He has purchased us to be His own people. So God chose us in advance. He was willing to adopt us even though He knew everything about us from the cradle to the grave. Because God's sovereign that way. He knows the end and the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And even though He saw all of our idiosyncrasies, all of our flaws, all of our imperfections, all of our failures, all of our problems, all of our dramas. Yeah, because you might be the drama king or the drama queen, right? Some people might say, I steer clear from those people. But not God. He saw all of that. And He still chose us in advance. He still chose us and cleansed us and adopted us. I mean, in spite of all that, He paid the fee, signed the papers, and put His mark on us. This is pretty cool, guys, when I think about it. He put His mark on us. Not only did He pay the fee and sign the papers, but He set His mark on us. You know, some people are pretty possessive about their stuff. You know them, right? They place identifiable markers on everything that they own, possess, or manage. They spray paint their tools and equipment. They etch their names into jewelry and valuables. They place private property signs on their fences. They stamp their name on their books. They brand their cattle. They insert ID chips into their pets. They tattoo their partners. She's got his name and he's got her name. Huh? Identifiable markers. What do those things declare? They declare private property. That is owned. It's managed. It's loved. It's kept. Right? Well, guys, God is just as possessive with us. I want you to think about this. He adopts us. Then He marks us or seals us because He's possessive of us. In fact, he has written our name on his hand. Here's the verse. Let's read it. Isaiah 49, verse 15. Just like a mother never forgets her nursing child, I will not forget you. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hands. I love it. You chose him because he pursued you. He pursued you. He brought the gospel message to you. You finally believed. He adopted you into his family. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can you say amen? Never to be erased. Permanent ink now. And he wrote your name on his hands. They belong to me. Here's their picture. Here's their image. Here they are. That ought to make you shout, right? Yeah. And we read earlier, listen, that at our adoption, the Father marked us with his mark, with the Holy Spirit. He set his seal or insignia on us. We have his mark and he has ours. So next time you see a couple, they're bearing the tattoo of, you know, their husband's name or their wife's name or their boyfriend's name or their girlfriend's name, and you roll your eyes and think that it's so immature and so silly. Hey, listen, God has our name written on his hands, and we have his name written in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, because we belong, because we're kept, because we're taken care of. That's awesome. Because we're his child. My child. All my children bear my name. We bear his. The power of the Holy Spirit. He has marked us. But why has he marked us? Why has he got our mark on him and he gave his mark to us? Why? Look at your neighbor and say, why? I'm glad you asked that question. He has marked us. So here's number one. So the thief Satan can't steal you. So the thief Satan can't steal us. Here's the verse, John chapter 10, verse 28. Let's read it. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never lose it or perish throughout the ages. And no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. Why? Because I bear his name. I belong to him. I'm in his family. So this adoption is permanent. Nudge your neighbor and say, permanent. The devil, he's marked me, and the devil cannot steal me back. I would just want to say, oh yeah, our adoption is permanent. Satan can't steal us back, right? So go ahead and sing to the devil. We are never, ever, ever getting back together. Huh? Like ever, never, no way. Another reason God marks us is not just so that Satan won't steal us back, that we belong to him. But another reason is God marks us is so that we can stop being insecure. Say the word, what? Insecure. See, insecurity makes for a rocky relationship. How many of you know that? Insecurity makes for a rocky relationship. Insecurity kills relationships. You know, sometimes we doubt our salvation. Our sinful attitudes, our actions, and our hearts condemn us. You know, you stumble, you fall, you trip up, you are disobedient, you mess up. You know, and then you start feeling the self-condemnation and the guilt, and you're unworthy, and maybe you're not saved. We start doubting our salvation. We start self-condemnation and self-loathing and doubt and insecurity, and we beat ourselves up. Here's what we tell God, all right? Right here. Here's what it is. Huh? Have you ever told God that? You know, I would really like this relationship to continue, but I'm messed up. It's not you, it's me. Huh? Maybe you haven't told him that, but maybe you felt that way. Maybe the devil's put that in your mind. You have no right to be involved with God, involved in his family. Call yourself a Christian. Look at you. Go ahead and let your neighbor say he's talking about you right now. Just look at him. Tell him. Well, God responds to our insecurity, to that it's not you but me. Here's how God responds to that insecurity in 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. First, God says, darn right it's you. No, he doesn't say that. But he says, but even if your heart condemns you, say it out loud, God is greater than our heart. Here's what he says. What John was saying is that we need to trust God's hold on us more than our hold on him. I'm going to say that again because that is very profound and very important. Okay? We need to trust God's hold on us more than our hold on him. Because, see, what happens is when we fall, when we stumble, you know, we think, oh, God, I'm letting him get away. I'm falling away. I'm losing my salvation. Wait a minute. You got to have more emphasis on God's hold on you than your hold on him. See, we are shaky and flaky, and our grip isn't what's keeping us saved. Would you like for me to repeat that again? Our grip is not what is keeping us saved. It's his grip that's keeping us saved. We are weak. He is strong. We are faithless, but he remains faithful, the scripture says. He's holding on to you, right? Here's another illustration, help you understand it. Jesus told Peter and the disciples that they were going to fall away. He told Peter, you are going to deny and forsake me. Jesus told Peter, you will turn away. You will fall away. You will run away. In fact, let's read the verse. Here's what Jesus told him. Luke chapter 22, read it with me. Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you. He wants you back so that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers. Well, when Jesus told Peter that, Peter was pretty confident of his grip on Jesus. Fail? Not me. Maybe John, for sure Thomas, that loser, but not me. Not I, right? But what happened? Satan did come and test Peter. And Satan jacked Peter up, really. Satan got to Peter. Do you know what Satan couldn't do? He couldn't claim Peter. You guys got that? He couldn't claim him. Why? Because of Peter's grip on Jesus? No, because of Jesus' grip on Peter. He said, but I have prayed. He's got a grip on us. So when you've messed up or failed or stumbled or fallen, don't panic or resign. Jesus won't let you go. I like this. Just start singing that song. Oh, no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Everybody, oh, no. There you go. So just get back and return to him. That's what he said. So I think I'm losing my salvation. Get back up and go back. Hey, listen, don't worry. Your grip is weak, is flaky. He's got you. You just keep going, get back and go get another grip. Hold on. Your grip will get stronger. It'll take more to pull you, to get you to let go. But guys, Jesus never lets go. All right, so one of the biggest benefits of our adoption is security. That's what we found out. What's one of the biggest benefits of our adoption? All right, so part of the salvation package, we've got forgiveness, regeneration, righteousness, adoption, and in that adoption comes this whole aspect of security in my relationship with him. He's got a grip on me. Nobody can pull him out of Nobody can pull me out of his hand. Isn't that awesome? Okay, but there's another benefit in adoption, not just security. Another benefit is this. Everybody say it out loud. Inheritance. We're heirs of God. We're heirs of God. I like it. Let's read a verse. Here it is, chapter 8, verse 17. And since we are children, we are his. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. And then Ephesians chapter 1. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Our Heavenly Father is paving the lives of his kids with good things. It's an inheritance. He's marking us to receive his benefits. See, being God's children has its privileges. That's the word. Say it again. Inheritance. Now, what is included in our inheritance? What is it? What all do we get as part of an inheritance? Should I continue or should we wait till next week? That's why we'll wait till next week. We got a lot of stuff to cover as part of our inheritance. We're going to talk about how, listen, one of the parts of our inheritance is that we got our Father's concern. We got our Father's care. He's sensitive towards us. And he also provides for us. We're also going to find out that there are some things that God gives us as our inheritance that we get now. Like provision. He promised that. I will meet all your needs. God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory. He's a heavenly father that is just even better than any earthly father who will provide your needs. That is awesome. There's some things that we get now like guidance and wisdom and understanding and peace. Isn't that awesome? We're going to talk about all those things we get as part of our inheritance. But then there are things that we won't get now. We won't get till later as part of that inheritance. One of that is a resurrected body. Look at your neighbor and say, a resurrected body. Whew. That's coming. And boy, don't we need it. Let's do this. I've got 5 minutes. Here we go. The first thing we get is our Father's concern. You know, parents are pretty good at reading their kids' attitudes, actions, and emotions. We know our kids' strengths and weaknesses. We know their circumstances and their concerns. And as parents, we're sensitive and caring towards our children. We hurt for them. We feel their pain. We give them comfort. We give them counsel. We give them courage. We give them correction. When they fail or they falter, we don't disown them. We don't reject them. We don't dismiss them. We care for them. We pray for them. We even lose sleep over them. Well, our Heavenly Father is the same with us. Part of our inheritance, Psalm 103, let's read it. As parents feel for their children, God feels for those who fear him. He knows us inside out. And he keeps in mind that we are made of mud. Isn't that awesome? He cares for us. He's concerned for us. That's what we get as part of our inheritance. Here's the next one. We get our Father's care. Another part of our inheritance is that our Father will care for us. Jesus elaborated on this in his Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6. Here's what Jesus said. Read it with me. So don't worry about these things, saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink and what shall we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. So seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. A little further down, read it. You parents, if your children ask a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you, sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? So there are some things in our inheritance that we get right away. Provision, answered prayer, wisdom, guidance, understanding, security, peace, blessings. You don't have to groan for any of that. You don't have to yearn for any of that. We get it now. It's available. Everybody say it. When? But there are other things in our inheritance that we will not receive until later. Here's the verse. Romans 8:23. Read it with me. And even we Christians, although we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, we also groan to be released from pain and suffering. We too wait anxiously for the day when God will give us our full rights as his children, including new bodies. He has promised us bodies that will never be sick again and will never die. That's part of the inheritance. Paul said, don't be impatient. The best is yet to come. You get some things now, but there's some things you won't get till later, like that resurrected body. For now, our body ages. It fades, and we groan. Everybody say groan. Right? We groan. We yearn. We groan to get out of bed in the morning. Oh! We groan when we drop the soap in the shower. We groan when we step on the scale. Oh! We groan when we can't find our reading glasses. Ugh. We groan as we drink our stool softeners and our metformin and our Januvia. We groan. We groan as we go through dialysis or chemo or physical therapy. We groan because of divorce, disease, and the death of loved ones. We groan for physical redemption. Life without sickness, without hurt, without pain, without grief. But guys, it's coming. It's part of our inheritance. There are some things we get now. I don't have to groan for peace. I don't have to groan for security. I don't have to groan for his blessings. I don't have to groan because of answered prayers. No way. I got those now. But what I might do groan for, I'm groaning temporarily because my inheritance is going to be made complete. Either when I cross the threshold of this life into the next, or Jesus Christ comes for me and this body gets changed. No more death, no more sickness, no more groaning. That's going to make for another good funeral message, I promise you. Let's all stand. Did you learn something today? Adoption. What it entails. You've got an inheritance. As we cling to the simple
Today's message is just one of many teachings Pastor Dion Cordova has shared from the book of Galatians and other books of the Bible. If you'd like to listen to more, we invite you to join us at our website, tmcalvary.com. Just click on Sermons at the top of the page to open up our audio archive, or you can visit our YouTube page to experience the service through video. Feel free to share these links with anyone in your life that you think would benefit from hearing the simple truth of God's Word. Do you spend time on social media? If so, we'd love for you to explore our Facebook page. You'll find links to our videos, posts with encouraging scripture, and plenty of information about events and updates on our church. You can find a link at our website. Again, that's tmcalvary.com. While you're there, you can learn more about the church that's behind these teachings on the simple truth. Here at Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel, we enjoy a relaxed atmosphere, a friendly people who genuinely care about each other. Would you like to join us in person for our Sunday morning services? Come by at 9 or 11 a.m. to worship Jesus, learn from the Bible, and meet some great fellow believers. We also meet on Wednesday evenings for a Bible study beginning at 7 p.m. Find directions and more information about Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel when you visit tmcalvary.com. We're so glad you took time today to listen to our program. Join us next time to continue exploring the book of Galatians with Pastor Dion. That's right here on The Simple Truth. You're the one that we proclaim. We'll be fools for you as you work.
May your power show in the deeds we sow. Let us join our hands, and together we stand.
Together.